morning.
Good morning.
I'll be reading from Numbers chapter 20, verses 6 through 13. Then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the people of Israel quarreled with the Lord, and through them he showed himself holy."
I'm back again, like a bad penny that keeps showing up. I bring you good news. Bonnie texted me last night, I guess it was around, 9 o'clock or something like that. Deb and I were just coming back from, what were we coming back from? I don't remember.
Turkey banquet.
From the banquet, yeah. At a turkey banquet, though. And so we were just coming back from the banquet, and I got a text from Bonnie, and she said that she and Joe were in Virginia visiting his brother, and just wanted to pray for us this morning, and I thanked her for that and said, I trust that you guys will have a safe journey and a blessful, peaceful time. So let's pray for them while they're away, right? Okay? People in the parking lot, that's probably a good thing. This is for y'all in the parking lot. They can hear me. All right, I know you're with me. Okay. Wonderful.
Thanks, Rod.
Well, it really and truly is good to be back, and I would like to invite all of you. As you know, Deb and I are going to be married. Let me see, when is that?
I'm not saying yes or no right now.
Oh, right. I'm in trouble already. But you did notice that she came up first and I followed her. Okay. So that's a sign of things to come, I think. But anyway, we'd love to invite all of you. We would love to invite all of you to the wedding on the 16th at 2 o'clock. And I guess we're going to have some, I don't know, whatever it might be over there in the hall. And so y'all are welcome. I love you guys. You know that.
And I think you love me, otherwise I wouldn't be back here as often as I come. So, you know, you guys don't say amen, but the horns, you know, are saying amen out there, you know. So anyway, you all are welcome to come, and we love you all. And thank you for welcoming my soon-to-be wife as well as myself. You guys have been... You've opened up your arms to me, welcomed me in, and I greatly appreciate that. I really do. And how much you guys love. You really know how to love, as I've said, I don't know how many times. What's that?
Welcome home.
Welcome home. Thank you. Thank you. I feel at home. I really do. Well, as some of you might be wondering, I said be careful when he lit the candles here, and I need to be careful that I don't get too close, because the topic today is on complacency. Now, lacquer thinner looks just like water, doesn't it?
Sure does.
All right. So what happens if I mix these up? Right? See, and I get to talking like I, you know, Deb says I talk too much, so I suppose that's probably true. And I grab this and start to drink it. What would you do?
CPR.
What's that?
CPR.
Does anybody know CPR? Okay. Oh, all right. You do, Deb? That might be a good thing, you know. I knew there was a good reason why I was marrying you. That's right. But I wanted to illustrate to you that, you know, we need to really pay attention. I have lacquer thinner in my garage because I work on tractors and I'm forever cleaning things up, and it's a good way to clean paint out of the spray gun and, you know, all of that. And many, many times, this is a very real thing. I will have water out there and lacquer thinner at the same time. And, you know, how do I know this is lacquer thinner? Well, you all saw me pour it, didn't you? Right? And if I reach for this and I go to drink it, see, I can smell it. And the minute I smell it, right? Whoa, right? Yeah, see? And That's a lot like what happens to us. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we've known Him for years and years. You know, some of you are, I'm going to say, I don't know if I should say this or not, but you're way older than I am. Okay? And, I mean, I'm old. So when I say you're way older than me, you know, but so you're so used to, right, coming and worshiping and walking with the Lord and going about your day throughout the week and so forth. And what happens? Well, I'm going to suggest to you, there's complacency that begins to creep into our lives. I'm guilty of it. Do you know, Bill and I went to an auction yesterday, didn't we? Right? And I was so busy, I had two other fellows that were going with me and so forth, and I usually take the dog for a walk. And when I take the dog for a walk, I pray, commit myself to God, you know, that morning, and pray for y'all and all the prayer requests that come through emails and so forth. But I got so busy yesterday that I didn't pray in the morning. Okay? And, you know, then I went to the auction, and after that I had to go to this turkey banquet, and, you know, and I was involved there and so forth and so on. And it didn't really dawn on me until Deb says, are you going to read through your message? And I'm, I'll, and I'm there. I didn't even pray today. Okay? Complacency. Okay? See, you know when I'm preaching because there's always a whiteboard up here, right? And I looked up complacency on Google because you can do everything on Google, right? Almost. But sometimes you can't really trust it. But here, anyway, complacency, they defined it as self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. What do you think about that? Does that pretty much sum it up? Complacency? Self-satisfaction, especially when accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. Now, what happens when we don't pray? What happens when we don't pray? No big deal, right?
We'll lose our connection.
That's right, Caesar. Yeah. We're going to lose our connection. And, you know, what happens when does complacency really set in? Well, maybe when, I'm going to suggest that when complacency sets in is when we get too busy. Don't you think?
Yes.
It was like yesterday. I was too busy. So, you know, when does complacency set in? Well, a lot of times when we're too busy. that we forget. Thing. And it's not that we intentionally, right, say, well, I didn't get up yesterday morning and say, I'm not going to pray, but I was too busy. That I didn't even think. And that's another thing that happens when complacency sets in, when we don't think. Right? We just plain don't think. I say, and we get distracted. I think Deb got a little, I don't know. Did you get mad at me this morning, dear?
Irritated.
Irritated, okay. Because we were on our way here, and, you know, I'm focusing on the message, and, you know, I'm focusing on what God is going to do today. And, oh, by the way, after I get through speaking, I'm going to sneak out and leave, because I led my neighbor to Christ probably about a year ago. And he's getting baptized over in Bridgewater, Montrose, and he asked me to baptize him. And so I'm going to be sneaking out and going over to Montrose this morning to baptize him. What an honor, what a privilege, wow. I don't know if I'm going to make it through the baptism without getting teary, you know. But anyway, that's what's going to happen. And so I'm thinking about all this as I'm driving here this morning, and Deb's looking at her phone, you know, going through the Facebook, and boy, I'm really going to get in trouble, aren't I? And so I look over, and I'm there. Deb, can we pay attention? Can we stay focused? And she says, on what? And I said, well, on, you know, what's going to happen today, God speaking to our hearts, and, you know, so forth. And, you know, she continues to look at the phone, and so I, okay, Al, what are you going to do here, right? So I just kind of backed away a little bit, and, you know, she put the phone down. So, but I say all that because we can get easily, and what a hypocrite I am, because I was here last Sunday, and I had a guy coming to look at a tractor, and my phone buzzed. Y'all were here last week, right? Jim knows what I'm going to say, right? And so I picked up the phone just to look at if this was the guy or not. Well, I'm technically challenged. I have no idea why these things do what they do, right? But when I looked at the phone, right, this loud voice comes on and starts going, starts talking, right? And I forget who it was, but y'all were reading this. Yeah, you were reading the scripture or something, right? And everybody's looking at me, and I'm there, oh, great. You know, I'm the guy that's going to be talking about complacency next week, right? You know, but we can get so easily distracted, right? And complacency sets in all kinds of, or you know what, when things are going well, think about it. When things are going well, I love it when things go well, don't you? Yeah, wow, bring it on, you know? Bring it on. But when things are going well, hey, God, yeah. Yeah, I got this, right? Everything's going well. Man, I must be doing wonderful, right? And, you know, God doesn't get our attention. Yeah. See? So that's another, if you're taking notes, right, that's another thing that happens when complacency sets in. Things are going well. You know, we don't really need to focus on God, right? Wrong. Good. I'm glad somebody said, right? Yeah, that in fact, that's really when we ought to be more focused, but we got it backwards, right? It's when things are not going well that we really start to pay attention. But that can also be complacency when complacency sets in too, because something like apathy takes place. You ever been apathetic? Well, a few of you are honest. Say, look around at the people that don't have their hands up. That's what denial looks like. Okay? That's what it looks like. No, you know, I mean, right? When things are going not so good, and we pray and we don't seem to get answers and whatever else, we kind of just throw up our hands and say, ah, I don't care. I don't care. God doesn't care. I don't care. Right? And we become complacent, even more complacent. Right? So complacency can set in at any time. And I'm going to suggest that every one of us here, including me, I got two hands raised, right? Including me, even right now as I speak, there are things in my life that I am complacent about. And part two, next week, so you'll come all come back, right? That's why I have part one and part two, see? We're going to be taking a look at how to identify complacency in our lives. But be aware, right, that even as we sit here right now, yes, Franklin Hill Presbyterian Congregation, right, we're all complacent. And I'm going to suggest that God wants us to wake up, right? Because what are the consequences of complacency? Well, Deb read the scripture from Numbers chapter 20, 6 through 13. And I can't get away from the whole staff thing, right? You remember this, right? You remember this when I was here last time, or I don't know, a couple times ago? And I forgot and left it here, and somebody put it away for me. So, but I just can't get away from the staff thing, right? So, but anyway, here's Moses again in Numbers chapter 20. And second time, they're wandering around in the wilderness, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, well, what are we going to do? We're thirsty again. And so Moses says, what am I going to do with your people? And they're grumbling. Meribeth means complaint. Place of complaint. And so they start complaining. And, you know, if I were Moses right about this time, I'd say, you know what, guys? You know, I'd be very frustrated with them. Hasn't God provided for us by now? And, you know, hasn't he shown himself with water and manna from heaven? And he's leading us, you know, with a pillar of fire and all this kind of stuff, right? And so, anyway, Moses, I'm sure, probably was frustrated. I don't know, but seems to me he would have been. And so, you know, he goes before God and says, okay, here we go again. Now, what do you want me to do? And so God says to him, speak to the rock. Tell the rock to pour out its water so that the people can have something to drink. And Moses, being Moses and the godly, righteous man that he is, the pastor of his people, right? Gotcha, God. Yep. Been there, done that. Know what you mean. So he walks up to the rock, and what does he do? Not once, but twice. See? And what happened? Well, water came out, right? But then Almighty God said, you know what? You didn't believe in me. You didn't do what I told you to do. Yet he became complacent. Right? How many times does God in his word specifically tell us what we need to be doing in our lives and how to be living our lives? Right? I got that, God. You know, I've been a chosen frozen or a frozen chosen for years now, right? Got it. Really? Really? And so what were the consequences of complacency? Well, you all know, right, what happened. And what happened? Anybody? What happened? You know it. Come on.
They didn't get their
They didn't get to enter the promise. Moses, his people did, but Moses didn't. He didn't get to enter the promised land. Now, think about that. Moses, the leader of God's people. I mean, he had to be, wow, God chose me to be the deliverer, the leader of his people. I can't wait to get to the land of milk and honey, right? And God says, you didn't listen. You didn't do what I told you to do. You didn't believe me. You thought you had it. Well, guess what? Now, the consequences of your complacency, you're not going to enter the promised land. Whoa, pretty severe, don't you think? But that's what happens when we become complacent. It's a dangerous, 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 dangerous place to be. And it creeps up on us, like I said. When things are going well, when things are not going well, when we're too busy, where is God when we're too busy, right? And so, here we are. And I don't think there's ever a time in our country, and y'all are as old as I am or older, right? I've never seen a time that I am seeing now. The political climate is such that it's I don't really have words to describe it, nor am I even going to attempt to, but you know what I mean. The pandemic, right? The morality of our country. What morality? Right? And we're bombarded with this. The news. I hate the news anymore. I hate it. When the news comes on, I say, you know what? I'm just going to shut this off. I don't even want to listen to it anymore. Because it's so depressing. And at the same time, we're told, okay, all kinds of things about gender issues, right? And maybe it won't be too long before the law will require you to have a restroom where either men or women can go in, and it really doesn't matter. And, you know, it grieves my heart. And I'm just glad that I'm as old as I am, because I'm in the last, I don't know what, third of my life. You know, Deb doesn't like it when I talk about this. She says, you know, I want to spend some time with you. You're already, you know, halfway in the grave or something, the way you talk.
You're not alone on that floor.
What's that?
So I could sing with Eve.
Yeah.
You're not alone, so don't feel you're alone.
Thank you, Caesar. Yeah.
So life's the truth.
Yep, yep. And, you know, but I say to her, you know, I don't want to be around 20 years from now. Can you imagine 20 years from now? And our grandchildren? God help us. God help us. We cannot be complacent, Franklin Hill. We can't. We cannot be complacent. We need to be aware, you know, and 1 Peter 5:8. Deb says, you want me to read that? I said, no, I'll quote it the best I can. But it talks about the devil. He's an evil one. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ was risen and he lives today in our hearts, hopefully, those of us that have asked the Lord Jesus to, wow, he's living in us, right? But, you know, just as Christ is living, so also is the evil one. And he's out there. And he's prowling, it says, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And those of us that hunt, Bill, we know what it means, right? When a bobcat is prowling, right? Or a coyote is prowling. Or those of you, how many of you own a cat? Go ahead, it's okay. We've got two, right? And when you see the cat outside, they like the mouse, don't they? You know. And so what do? You know, you ever watch a cat? Really, seriously. They're like this, right? And they're motionless. I love to watch them, you know, come up on a mouse, right? And they're there, right? And they're just waiting and waiting and looking. Bah! All of a sudden, right, they got the mouse. And the mouse doesn't have a chance. Didn't even know, right, that he was being stalked. Be aware, you're being stalked. You are being stalked. I am being stalked. Okay? And so Peter tells us to be vigilant, to be aware, to be sober-minded. Pay attention. You're being stalked. And just when the moment's right, bam! And how does it happen? You know, the cat doesn't just walk up and say, "Hello, mice. Hey, how you doing there? You know, I'm going to eat you." You know? That's not how it takes place. Right? And you know, it's pretty easy when somebody comes up and, you know, says to you, "Well, you know, I'm not born again, and you know, and I'm I don't know, whatever the sin is." Right? And we could say, okay, all right, well, they're not a Christian. You know, they're, you know. But that's easy. It's like the cat walking up to the mouse and saying, "Hey, I'm going to eat you." We can see evil. Okay. But what happens? When complacency sets in, and the consequences of that complacency can ruin our lives. Been there, done that. Oh, yeah. Again. And I need to be identifying the areas of my life where there's complacency. And we're going to take a look at that next week, right? And I challenge you this week as you leave, try to identify, and I'll ask you next week, did you find any places in your life? And if you didn't, I'm going to say, well, there's more denial going on, right? So I want you to pay attention. Be vigilant. That's what God wants. And that's what God is challenging you to do, right? Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for the time that we've had this morning. I thank you for your word and the power of your word. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive, risen, and lives within us, those of us that have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our lives. And because of that, I pray that we might be very much aware of what that means, to be like Jesus and to live like Jesus and to pay attention, not like the disciples that fell asleep when he was praying. Keep us awake. Keep us wide awake. Keep us vigilant. Keep us strong. Convict us of our sin. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to sneak out.